and welcome to The Schism. This podcast is all about critical thinking, dot connecting, the nature of reality, and trying to uncover the truth about the world we live in, society, who we are, and where we come from.
Hello, and welcome to The Schism. Today I'm joined, as always, by my co-host Adam.
Hello, everyone.
And today's episode is called Hackable Animals, where we're going to be talking about AI manipulation, under-the-skin technology, and the hacking of human consciousness.
Watch out, because we're coming after yours.
Now, hackable animals itself, as a phrase regarding the hacking of the human mind, comes from a guy called Yuval Harari, who's a rather interesting character. Looking-wise, I describe him as a twerp.
Nerdish.
Yeah, you could say geek or nerd, or possibly weasel.
Yeah, these guys always dig those really uncomfortable jumpers, don't they?
Yeah, he's got a Revenge of the Nerds vibe about him. But he apparently is key advisor to Klaus Schwab at the WEF, although I did see a number of things at the top of the Google search telling me that he wasn't. But he's certainly linked to the WEF. Let's just say he's linked to Klaus Schwab. He's definitely cut from the same cloth.
Could be like his right-hand man, or like the Smithers to his Mr. Burns. Or...
Well, he's certainly linked to the World Economic Forum, and he's given a number of speeches there and all over the world about the dangers of AI. But similar to Klaus, he likes to kind of... Klaus, rather. Likes to... Klaus...
Got no class.
What's he clasping at?
My arsehole's clasping thinking about him. Clasping thinking about class.
His claws are clasped round the world. No, similar to Klaus Schwab, Yuval Noah Harari sounds like he's issuing you a threat rather than like warning you, you know, oh, if you're not careful, this could happen and we've got to prepare for this kind of society. It's like, okay, but you're not really saying it like that. Again, he sounds like a James Bond villain. Like, yeah. He sounds like someone that's getting a lot of pleasure out of telling you what he's telling you. And when he talks about humanity, it's like he's talking about it as like an outsider of humanity.
Yeah, like he's not one of us.
The trouble is with humans. They don't understand. And you're like, okay, like, you're kind of human, aren't you?
Sort of.
But yeah, he kind of talks about humanity with like a real disdain, I feel like. There's a lot of anger when he's saying these speeches about... free will is over and saying you might think you have a choice in these things, but you don't. Kind of reminds me of when Bill Gates was like, trouble is people think they have a choice. They don't have a choice. Yeah, it's like, whoa, okay. And you're getting the glimpses into someone here that you're like, yeah, you seem an off character to me. Linked to Russell Brand, weirdly. Like, Russell interviewed him back in the day, and there's some very chummy photos of them two where Russell's, like, got him in a fucking headlock or whatever. He does look like a kind of twerp you'd want to get in a little headlock. I'm not even like that. I'm not like one of these macho guys that would be, like, giving someone a fucking knuckle bruiser.
Oh, no, that Harari dude definitely had his lunch money stolen in school.
He's crying out for it.
He was in a few headlocks.
This is why he hates humans.
I wonder how many swirlies he got. Is that why he hates people? Because all like the times his head got shoved down the toilet.
Oh, is that swirly? I never issued a swirly to someone though, did you?
No. I'd hate to think what colour your hair would be when you come out. Harari, definitely the victim of a lot of human bullying. This is why he's on the robot side.
No, there wasn't any swirlies at my school and like no wedgies. Is that even a real thing? I feel like it only happens in America.
Nah, not wedgies. Nipple cripples, though.
Nipple cripples, yeah.
Yeah.
They used to go at my school, like, used to grab a nipple and then tweak it like they were tweaking a radio dial and go, 95.8, capital FM! And you're like, ah! They really crank it up on the M.
Well, the favourite one was the old granddad knee. Someone was in the lunch queue and you would just go up and knee them in the side of the thigh and give them the deadest leg. And they would wobble to the side.
Like, Jesus.
And almost lose their balance because it'd give them such a dead leg, yeah.
Jesus. I'd rather a wedgie in some of these things. Yeah, but just want to kind of set the stage a little bit before we play a clip of him. And you can decide for yourself, are we being too harsh? Here he is now. The one, the only, Yuval Noah Harari.
Humans are now hackable animals.
Good start. is straight in there.
Yeah. Worrying.
Right, he goes on.
You know, the whole idea that humans have, you know, this, they have this soul or spirit and they have free will and nobody knows what's happening inside me. So whatever I choose, whether in the election or whether in the supermarket, this is my free will, that's over.
Oh. I mean, well, that's over. It sounds like a direct threat.
I thought I had a choice between whether I was going to have steak or fish tonight. And apparently Harari says I don't.
Well, he's obviously talking about, you know, you're being manipulated on a level now where you think you have free will, you think you have choice. Kind of reminds me of The Matrix. But you don't, because you're being controlled all the time. You're being conditioned and programmed all the time by everything that you're watching and seeing, whether it's on billboards or algorithms. I mean, I'm saying billboards. Like, it's so far beyond that now.
Yeah.
That's what he's trying to say. This is like targeted ads. This is algorithms that are programmed to know exactly what you like and how to press your buttons. But when he's like, this is over, like he sounds angry.
Yeah,
he sounds like an angry little man. But he also goes on to talk about nanotech and under the skin technology and stuff too. So he's going at it on a whole new level. But let's hear him out. This is what he says next.
Well, that's over.
That's over.
Today, we have the technology to hack human beings on a massive scale. Yeah, I mean, everything is being digitalized. Everything is being monitored. In this time of crisis, you have to follow science. It's often said that you should never allow a good crisis to go to waste.
Please wait, you can see why Klaus likes him.
Do I have a space for a chief advisor anywhere tall at the moment?
Anyone who hates humans as much as I do? Harari just sticks his hand up. Over here!
What's this saying? I like the cut of his jib? And I'm pretty sure never let a good crisis go to waste. Like, isn't that a direct quote from Hitler and the Nazis? Sounds like it.
Yeah.
No, like, I literally feel like that is like from, like, Goebbels.
Goebbels' handbook or something.
Right? Yeah, but it's not from him. It's definitely from his handbook.
Yeah, it's out of, like, the Nazi world domination.
He's ticking all the boxes for a lovely henchman for Klaus Schwab.
Because a crisis is an opportunity to also do good reforms that in normal times people will never agree to, but in a crisis, you see, we have no chance. So let's do it.
Surveillance. People could look back in 100 years and identify the coronavirus epidemic as the moment when a new regime of surveillance took over, especially surveillance under the skin, which I think is maybe the most important development of the 21st century.
So, hang on, your most important development of the 21st century was a possibly manufactured fake virus pandemic to make everyone go out and get a vaccine that has nanotechnology. So you'll forever be tracked by the copious amounts of graphene running through your body.
Yeah, you'll be a human antennae. Yeah, so he's talking about under-the-skin technology, saying that's the greatest invention of the 21st century. He thinks it's a great thing. Sounds like anyone that believes that humans aren't hackable animals is a friggin' moron to this guy.
I like the fact that even he said during the times of a crisis, like, people don't have a choice. It's kind of weird because that's how the government played everyone into staying in your homes, not going out, and like social conditionings, things that were going on during that whole malarkey. I don't even want to call it a pandemic because it wasn't one. So
also, he's a pretty smart guy. Like, has he not worked out, you know, it's probably not a case of don't let a good crisis go to waste, and it's actually been a manufactured world orchestrated event to bring all this about. That's what we think, and we're not even rubbing shoulders with all these people at the WEF. Hasn't he got like an inkling yet? Wow, they hate humanity more than I do. I'm definitely in with the right crowd. Let's put it that way. Some of them, I even wonder, are they human? I know I'm not.
This ability to hack human beings, to go under the skin, collect biometric data, analyze it, and understand people better than they understand themselves, this, I believe, is maybe the most important event of the 21st century. By hacking organisms, elites may gain the power to re-engineer the future of life itself. Because once you can hack something, you can usually also engineer it.
So it sounds like he is saying we could become gods at this point. You know what I mean? Like, he's sort of saying we can create life itself because we can hack something. It means we can usually engineer it. Therefore, we can even engineer life and we can become gods. And he's obviously someone that is godless himself. He's a passionate atheist. And there's another clip, actually, I want to play where he's saying humans are not these mysterious souls people think they are. And he sees humanity, like he said, as something that can be hacked and is something that is like soulless. And that worries me, because if you look at societies that are like godless and like mainly atheists by choice or by force, like, these are the most tyrannical disaster societies that there has been.
Yeah,
in terms of like genocide and like,
he's definitely talking about a whole upgrade in the what we perceive as human consciousness.
So let's play some more of Yuval Noah Harari and get a little deeper into this guy's nutcracker.
Old democratic system stop functioning. We need to reinvent democracy for this new era in which humans are now hackable animals. You know, the whole idea that humans have, you know, this, they have this soul or spirit and they have free will and nobody knows what's happening inside me. So whatever I choose, whether in the election or whether in the supermarket, this is my free will, that's over. We need to come to terms with the fact that, no matter, again, this is where philosophy meets computer science and biology.
Did he just say the loss of my consciousness and reality was no matter?
No matter. It's over. Yeah, he like probably skates past it. Free will, this is over. It's like, that's news to me, mate. Humans, they're just hackable animals. I've never heard that phrase before. Is that a thing? It is now. And
I started it.
Like, I've never heard anyone else refer to us humans as hackable animals up until now.
No.
He's saying it like, hackable animals, yes, it's a thing. Yeah, that you've made up. It's like your wet dream. You're the only one hacking it out like an animal over this.
Hacking one out over all the hacking.
Yeah, he's like, hacking is something that happens on computers, but now human mind will be hacked. Yeah. What?
Yeah. You know, you don't really care about who you vote for. We'll be voting for you.
It's already happening. What you choose in supermarket, well, who you vote for, this is not you.
You know what? That's worrying for the American election coming up.
But, like, in a sense, I agree with him. Like, we are being, like, conditioned and programmed on every level. If you're tuned into, like, mainstream media, you are being literally brainwashed on a daily basis. But even those of us that avoid that and we're on social media, we're getting hit by like targeted ads, yeah, and algorithms, yeah, that know exactly what you like and all the rest of it. And we're all aware of that, but we all, you know, we're only human, or sorry, hackable animals. But I think he's alluding to the fact that, oh, it's even deeper than that. Like, you think you have free will, you don't. But I kind of disagree with that notion. And also, like, well, if that's the case, then why do you seem so happy about it?
Yeah. And also this idea of us not having a spirit and stuff, and
it's like, says who? Me, know, this little twerp.
Yeah, you've had MS-DOS in you for at least 20 years. You're up and functioning PC now. Oh shit, I didn't know.
Yeah, as someone like personally that believes in like spirit and soul and stuff, I kind of find this little twerp laughable, because I'm like, no, we are so much more than that. And you might have deluded yourself to think otherwise, but no, you can't compare me to some AI software that you've had a wet dream about. Now I am God, I've created AI program. Like, no.
Nah.
Like, you haven't created shit, and God will smite you down for actually thinking you're a God, because history hasn't looked at people that have played God very favourably in the past.
No.
And even if, like, the word God, you know, let's just say the universe, if, like, the word God carries too much baggage for you, you know, the universe hasn't really treated them people. They're nice. They get what's coming to them.
Oblivion and black holes.
Yeah, and you can't help but think it's because, like, somewhere deep inside, they're like an Agent Smith. They're just unhappy with the world.
Yeah.
They think humanity's a virus. And this guy, even though, like, he would say, I'm just sending warning and saying this is how things are and we have to change with this new world. And it's like, yeah, fine, but your delivery is that of a James Bond villain, just like Klaus Schwab, and you seem pretty sure in the fact that, oh, humans are nothing more than just hackable animals. They're not. We don't have a spirit. We don't have a soul. And it's like, who are you to say that? Well, I know better than all, like, wise religious men over all history. They're all children compared to me.
Well, as far as he's concerned, we're already past the day of reckoning, the fact that we're being manipulated on a day-to-day basis, even, like you said, for the ones that aren't down with the propaganda in mainstream media. And he's probably right. I'll agree with him. I'll agree with him on that, you know. But at the same time, who is he or any of his cronies to judge? Okay, I'll use an example. There's plenty of supercomputers out there that have a better and smarter brain than me. I'll admit that. But none of those fucking computers have a crazier brain than me. Beat that, AI.
I'm sure AI could dream up some nightmare that you could only scratch the surface of.
He could try.
I'm Professor Yuval Noah Harari. I'm a historian and a professor at the Hebrew University of Jerusalem. One of the biggest things happening in the world right now is a shift in authority from humans to algorithms, to AI. Now, increasingly, this decision about you, about your life, is done by an AI. The AI goes over enormous amounts of data about you, which no human being is able to do. And maybe the bank says, no, we don't give you a loan. And you come to the bank and you say, why not? What's wrong with me? Why did you deny my application? And the bank says, the algorithm said no.
Yeah, so it's like we've said before, like computer says no. You can't argue with AI. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work the same way as humans, where they have empathy and understanding and they let someone off of something or show some sort of human emotion that a robot wouldn't, because with a robot it would just be done on like pure data. It'd be like utterly ruthless.
Yeah, it would like your payments are behind, you have low credit, you have limited savings in the bank, loan denied. I mean, do you remember that horror film Drag Me to Hell? And the reason the girl gets put on the curse is because she denies the old lady who's like a witch a loan to secure her house because it's about to get torn down. And she puts like the hex on her. I'd like to see AI try to get out of that one.
But yeah, exactly. Like,
dealing with humans is one thing, but Satan himself, evil spirits.
Well, that's what it sort of feels like. It's like AI is so unhuman in the fact that it has like, what is the quote from Terminator? Like, no remorse. You can't reason with it. It is just utterly ruthless and inhumane and precise as well. Very so you precise. Can imagine, like, if the world was run by AI and stuff, like, this is how they're going to bring in all this stuff about, oh, you can only have a certain carbon footprint, you can only eat this amount of food, or because it would just want to be like, it depends who sort of programmed it, but if the lunatics that are programming it are in charge, they're just going to make it the most like ruthless thing ever.
It would be like how they would look at the sort of things. If AI knew everything about you, it would know everything about your human body, how much energy you need in a day. It would stop you from even overeating. Oh, you don't need that chocolate bar. Well, I'm not overweight. I'm allowed to have a twirl. No, because you don't even need it. In fact, you've still got a little bit of your cornflakes energy left from breakfast. But I want a fucking twirl. You see yourself going into like the snack machine at work.
Yeah.
Just won't take the money or something.
As I always as well, it's the most worrying thing is the humans that are in control of it. And if the lunatics that are currently in control have AI at their disposal, then they can just make their tyranny so precise and so perfect, there'd be no way out. Well, no way to revolt. Like it will be like the perfect prison.
Well, like I alluded to, don't forget supercomputers like beat chess champions years ago already. You know what I mean? Yeah. So at this point now, the next version of the AI supercomputer.
Yeah.
I mean, it would take a billion human minds to take down just like five of its algorithms.
Well, Yuval Noah Harari goes on to actually talk about that. Computers that can not only beat people at games like chess, but they're so sophisticated now that they can actually do creative tasks better than humans. And he goes on to talk about that here.
People think again that creativity is some, I don't know, some mystical supernatural thing that, AI will never have. But actually, in many cases, creativity means being able to spot a pattern and then break it in a creative way, in a new way, do something new. And this is something that AI is actually becoming very good at. And there are fields when already today AI is more creative than humans. A famous example is chess. AI, it's not just that AI now plays chess better than humans. It's much more creative in the type of moves that it makes. And this can extend to more and more fields.
Yeah, like he talks about the computers that are playing games like chess and Go, they're actually beating players in more of a creative way. They're making more creative moves than humans. And actually, they're being used in the creative industry a lot, which we'll get to later. But before that, AI is after a lot of jobs. Well, not AI is after, but the people that are using AI as a tool to take jobs over.
Yeah.
We're talking about all lorry driver and truck driver jobs and delivery drivers. That could all be done by driverless vehicles that have some sort of AI intelligence built into them. And then a lot of factory work could just be taken over by AI robots, and not like iRobot. They still look like fucking cranes and shit, but they'd be AI run. AI brains.
Well, the whole retail industry.
The whole retail industry, like supermarkets. I mean, we've already seen this happening all over the place. It's not just like self-checkout tills, which are a bloody nightmare already. Now you're having like, oh, staffless supermarkets popping up, and these Amazon stores where you just go in, beep, beep, scan your card, and then you're just like wandering around the shop like, oh, I feel like a kid in a supermarket. You know, oh, I am.
You know what? It's like the opposite to the UK brand Argos, when you walk into the front and there's nothing and all the shit's out the back, you just can't see it and you have to order it in the catalogue, the plastic book of dreams.
Yeah, it's bizarre, Argos. No other store has ever copied that as like a blueprint for a reason. Like, it's mental.
It's almost like the opposite to AI. AI would look at Argos and be like, they got this all wrong.
You go in there, you take a ticket, you have to wait, and then like some
person has to call you to come up, and
troll comes back from like the back storage bit like, I've got it, and then you kind of walk out with it. It's bizarre. Don't even know if they have that anywhere else in the world. Please write us in and tell us.
God forbid Skynet's like, we need to do away with Argos first. That's where the first nuke goes.
Yeah, so there's a headline here from something that's happening at Sainsbury's in the UK. Facial recognition, scanning a loyalty card and using a touchscreen. The steps Sainsbury's shoppers could face to buy bottles of alcohol as the store trials new AI security cabinets. So this is the fucking start of it. You've literally got to go through some facial ID thing to be like, and it opens, and there's like steam comes out of it. I can't get the alcohol, I'm worthy.
I wonder how many kids will turn up with like fake beards and moustaches on. I swear it's real. I swear I'm over 18. Why won't it believe my face?
No, but it's like one step away from, say, in the future, you won't be able to unlock the one that has all the steaks in it because like your carbon footprint's too much. You've had enough steaks this week. The only one that will open is the one with the fucking like green beans and shit. And you're like, oh God. And the hummus with bugs in it.
Not hummus made of chickpeas, hummus made from larvae worms.
Fly larvae. Maggots, basically. Yeah. Maggot hummus. It's not that bad with a bit of pitta. Oh, so you could get pitta? No. Yeah, and there's another headline here in the Mail. Amazon will start selling cashierless technology used to power Go stores that lets customers scan their credit cards and leave without checking out. So a little bit like Elon Musk with the car batteries. Yeah. Amazon are saying, we're going to sell the technology so supermarkets can go cashierless.
Yeah.
They don't have to have cashier staff. That will be run by AI. But we make all the money because we'll be supplying...
Say we're Bezos.
Yeah, Bezos, yeah. He will be the one selling the actual technology that's going to go in all the supermarkets. we've already got the monopoly on this. And Elon over there, he's...
He's doing the old batteries for your driverless cars, yeah?
Just a bunch of crooks that are just assigned different, like, you're going to do this, you're going to do that.
You know what? When I play Monopoly, I like a chance of picking up Mayfair, maybe even Park Lane. I mean, I don't mind occasionally getting Trafalgar Square, but I'd hate to think there was no chance of me picking up anything other than Old Kent Road. Because everything else was butchered and taken by every technocrat and elite on planet Earth already.
Well, these are called go stores. It's like, do not pass go.
Yeah, and you will not collect £200.
In fact, you'll be minus 200 credit scores, which means you won't be able to get any alcohol, any cigarettes, or any food.
Yeah. Your red hotel has now dropped to a greenhouse. In fact, you don't even have a greenhouse anymore. Most people don't even have a home.
You definitely can't grow your own vegetables in a greenhouse. So it says Amazon will sell its suite of technology under the name Just Walk Out. If you don't like it, you know what you can do.
That's what I've been doing for years.
Just walk out.
Couple special brews up the old jacket.
Yeah, they're like, just walk out. Woo, woo, arrest this man. Customers will scan their credit cards before picking up what they need. Yeah, exactly, what they need. Not what they want. A suite of cameras and sensors will monitor what they take and their every move. And the technology may be sold to retailers, also like airport vendors. Can you imagine? You go everywhere in an airport.
God, the horror.
And you won't be able to avoid it at an airport, because in normal society, you'd be like, I'm not fucking going there. I go to this place, they don't do it. But in an airport, it's like everywhere is like it. And if you want to eat, like, you have to, like, pack your own sandwiches. God. And even then it'll be some scanner. He's got his own sandwiches. Arrest him.
You can cheer. All the airports have, like, the duty-free, like, a sort of go-through section to, like, the terminals. Imagine if that was all just AI. Excuse me, sir. Would you like some Calvin Klein?
Yes, spraying you with it. Yeah, yeah.
Excuse me, sir. Would you like Mayfair cigarettes? I'm trying to light a cigarette. What are you doing? It's an airport. Why are you lighting a cigarette up? Try the brand. It'd be a fucking nightmare.
No, but you literally won't be able to buy anything unless you go along with this whole scan your card, go in there, and you're just like monitored. Facial recognition. It goes hand in hand with this. So what they're basically saying is, oh, that thing that, you know, your conspiracy friend was telling you all that time ago, like, that's just being brought in just to go along with this, because the idea doesn't really work without that. So yes, you've got to have that.
We need the facial recognition. It won't work at all.
Yeah, it doesn't work without it. It's almost like it's been created for it. But you need it. Otherwise, you can't eat. You will starve. Yeah, and you're like, okay. And they're like, oh, who's it linked to? Oh, Bezos. Yeah, he's selling all the technology. Oh, he's just been sitting on it, is he? Like, Jesus Christ. And it will come in slowly, as it already is. Like, we've just read out the article about, oh, they're now doing it with alcohol or whatever. You can see where it's going. And how many people lose their jobs is crazy. But they're one step ahead at the World Economic Forum. They're already talking about a useless class. Not useless class, as in Schwab. But yeah.
I'm sure Harari has never referred to his best friend as useless.
He's very useful. He has lots of friends in very high places. Well, all of humanity is low to me, but high in their circles. Yeah, but you are human, right? Yeah, yes, yes, I'm human, yes. Filthy human, yes. That's me, all right. But yeah, he says, like, not... That's not even his accent.
I know.
I've lost the accent entirely, but he says, not unemployed, but unemployable. The useless class. People that don't have any skills that the new economy needs. This will be a disaster. But he's saying, like, people that have no use whatsoever, they're a new class, like, a class that he's just, you know, the useless class.
I don't know where they fit.
It's a thing now.
Fit between lower, middle and upper in this country.
I guess he's saying it's like a whole new class that we haven't had before, because these people, like you said, will be unemployable. They'd be just unable to learn these new skills fast enough to fit into this new world. They won't be able to be trained or afford to be trained, and maybe the jobs won't even be there for them.
Yeah.
They don't have intelligence to understand machine and AI. They're useless.
Yeah,
disposable, you could say.
And you think there's always been people to do these sort of jobs, yet you take all these jobs out of society and you put AI in control. There's huge amounts of people already. You could just take thousands and thousands and thousands of people out of... And what would these people do for a living?
Yeah.
Because you can't seem to retrain them in anything else because all the other jobs have been taken and filled already.
He's basically saying, oh, the profits of the new industries should be there to benefit the whole population to retrain themselves into this new society. But what is far more likely to happen is that they will put this useless class of people on a social credit score system, and they will just have to be good little citizens and do exactly what they're told for a survival amount of everything. And it will just be like a type of neo-communism that is just utterly technocratic in nature. Just an extreme version of what is happening in China. Or maybe a not so extreme version, because it is pretty extreme over there. But where it could go worldwide, the sky's the bloody limit with these guys. With AI at the fucking helm.
God, you know, I feel sorry for these people because they're not useless. You know what I mean? It's actually kind of mean to be calling people like useless, because these people in jobs, you know, I still enjoy the woman in the supermarket who gives me a smile and...
Useless. This has no value.
You know, like, I need this. I need this social interaction in the morning.
No, you don't. This is human myth.
But I need to talk about the weather to get it off my chest. And
this is meaningless. You're saying this just to make conversation. Conversation, overrated. Unless it's about future and AI, then I'm your man.
And this is our point, people. How bad does this future sound?
He does, to me, strike me as the sort of person that would strike up conversation with anyone that would listen. Like, taxi driver, someone on the bus. I don't usually ride bus with the humankind, but if I do, I talk to them about future and AI.
No, I don't think of them as rats. You know, I think of them as...
hackable animals. He's just there like, did you know you have no free will?
What's that, mate?
You thought you got on bus by choice? No, you did not. Yeah, I think he would chew anyone's ear off that he could about the upcoming future. But you can see where it's all going to go, like similar to where it has gone in China already. But here, I think a lot of it will revolve not only things to do with like convenience or security, but to save the environment as well. Like, you can imagine them bringing in a carbon tax where you get a good score for walking or riding your bike and not taking a car or not leaving your 15-minute zone. Or, like we said earlier, you can only have a certain meat intake, and it's all about your carbon footprint, and that's incorporated into
it. Well, that would definitely work better on the Western world than it would, say, out in China.
Yeah.
The way we love to virtue signal.
Yeah, right.
And
people wouldn't have a choice if it was like implemented and they all got on board with it because they thought it was a good idea to begin with. Same as these staffless supermarkets and, oh, it's so easy, you just scan your card and you just go in there. Like, they're not thinking of the repercussions of it, they're just thinking, oh, that's easier.
That's true. Convenience is always seems to be,
it's just one of the ways in, isn't it? Convenience is one way, security is another, by saying, oh, well, you need it to protect you. Like, we need facial recognition now because knife crime's so bad and rapes and murders and crime and all this stuff is up. And someone's like, is that because of like illegal immigration or something? No, but we need these facial recognition cameras now. It doesn't matter what the cause and effect is. Well, it will also be things like, you know, not going on too many holidays. People won't like that. You know, that's a carbon footprint.
Yeah.
Or not even being able to leave your 15-minute zone. You can imagine some people like, well, I don't really, you know, go outside my 15-minute zone anyway, and if it helps the environment. It's like, oh, God. Like, moving down to the country, as I have recently, I'm no longer in London. We're no longer recording from London, people.
It's not the country, dude. It's the suburbs.
It's the suburbs, yeah. It's just outside of London.
You're used to metropolitan.
Yeah. Well, it looks like the countryside when you look outside. Certainly compared to London, there's rolling green hills and even horses nearby.
Lack of smackheads running down the street at all hours of the day screaming obscenities. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not quite like Bethnal Green.
Stark contrast.
But one of the first things that I noticed when living here was like, oh, the bin system is kind of different. Because in London, I just whack my rubbish bag into like a big you know, huge roll. I was about to say skip. It wasn't too different, really. It was like these huge bins outside. And he's kind of been like that the whole time I lived in London. Like, recycling is not a big thing there like it is here. But here I've kind of learnt the drill. Like, oh, there's three bins, a blue one, a brown one, and a black one. You've got to put them out on different days. And the brown one needs a sticker that you need to apply for.
Every year.
The blue one's for plastic and for cardboard. But you've got to put it in loose. You can't put it in a plastic bag. And the newest thing that my mum's told me is it's got to be clean, the plastic. You can't put something that... like
clean?
Yeah, because... I'd stuck, like, there was some plastic that were some ribs with saucer inside. So it's like,
lovely.
Pretty dirty, right? Mum's like, you can't put that in there. Oh, no, it's got to be clean plastic. And I was like, oh, bloody hell. So I just stuck that in the waste one, right? And I was thinking, all these rules, like, it's getting bloody ridiculous. I'm doing the job of a dustman, basically. I'm like, literally, like, sifting through all the rubbish. Like, that shouldn't be in there. Like, get my hands dirty, like, rummaging through on my knees. Then, like, lugging all the bags out there, like, sectioning all the bins off. And I'm like, thinking, like, I'm basically a dustman now. But my mum told me that her friend takes it a little further. My mum's like, yeah, she cleans her rubbish. And I was like,
clean. That's a statement.
That's a sentence. I was like, what do you mean? She was like, well, if there's like plastic, right, say my rack of ribs thing, she would run that under the tap, like, oh, you know, I should recycle it. I know they like clean stuff, I'll clean it. So as well as all her like dishes and stuff, she's got a load of like plastic wrappers. Oh, that's some burgers in it, I'll clean that up. Oh, that's, and she's cleaning her rubbish. Like, that's how much of a good citizen some people want to be. Do you know what I mean? They're ripe for this credit score system. Oh my God. If they're cleaning their rubbish, people.
You know what? She hasn't realised. We live out in the suburbs now. There's a thing called foxes. They clean all your rubbish for you. They're welcome to a little bit of chicken jalfrezi left over from last night in the old tub.
Yeah. I hang it up so the foxes lick it clean. I've got the whole thing down. I mean, really, cleaning your rubbish, you're like, wow. But that's how extreme it is. Like, she'd feel a pang of guilt if she just lobbed that plastic pack of ribs in there. Like, I could clean it.
These are the sort of people that hoover their entire house and then they empty the bag inside because they don't want to release the dust particles into the atmosphere.
Definitely.
We're doomed, everyone. I'm telling you now.
So Harari also says some people think that creativity is some mystical, supernatural thing that AI will never have. And this is something that AI is becoming very good at. And he's basically pointing out that even creative jobs are at stake. And we've been seeing that more and more because the creative industry has been hit really hard as well.
Oh, yeah.
And suddenly AI is replacing all kinds of jobs. There was an advert on my Instagram recently and it was basically like, never pay for a model or a photographer again. And it was just saying you can use AI models. Even the clothing company that I'm part of, we messed around with AI models. The cover to this episode was created in DALL-E, which is kind of a bit like Midjourney. It's a program you can just put in prompts and it creates a piece of artwork for you. So
yeah, what did you put in to get the front cover this episode?
I think I put an illustration of a digital demon and it created the image that is the cover for this schism that's like a electronic, like a robot minotaur with all these wires coming out of it and stuff. It's pretty cool.
Yeah,
and yeah, AI just, you know, come up with this. But yeah, it can come up with artwork. It can write scripts. Like, you have things like ChatGPT, which can write essays for people. Like the essay that I'm having to write for my university at the moment, I have to upload it to a portal. It says like Harry Potter. It's, you know, then runs it through a scanning system that makes sure that AI hasn't helped me write it, and, you know, checks for plagiarism but also checks for AI interference. But yeah, you could just put your essay title into one of these programs and just get AI to write it for you. It's crazy, like the leaps and bounds it's come on, even since we recorded our Rise of the Machines episode of The Schism. This is back in 2021, I think, but that was all about AI. But even since then, we weren't talking about any of this stuff.
No.
So even in them few years, it's come on like a long way. And scary stuff.
It does make you wonder what the next just very few years. We're not talking 10, not even talking 5.
Episode 80 of The Schism.
Yeah. Stick around, everyone.
Shout out to episode 80.
See you there.
if you're still there. So he goes on to say, many people think the main aim of music is to inspire human emotions. So I've heard. This is what humans like, to stir up emotions. It's just electrical impulses. Okay. This guy will like, suck the joy out of anything, won't he? Yeah. I'll suck the joy out of you for no fee.
You know, he like, watches Disney films and roots for the villains.
He said, now if this is what music is about, very soon AI will be better than most human musicians. People are like, but yeah, but where's the soul? Humans, they have no soul. This is mysterious kitty story.
No such thing as soul.
This is nursery rhyme stuff. What about soul music? Just algorithm. It's like, the only one that's soulless, mate, is you. Even he's got a soul.
But he just wouldn't admit it.
He's just somewhere, very deep inside of him, crying out in pain.
Yeah.
Let me out. I'm not just algorithm. Yeah, the DALL-E 2 program, actually, that cover was made in, was a company that my clothing brand sort of teamed up with really early on. It was before Midjourney was out, and they sort of showed us how to use it. But someone there, actually, early insider, told me that Stranger Things was dreamt up in a similar way, using like AI to see what was trending. And when you watch something like that, you realize that, oh yeah, they've taken, it's like they had a big checklist, like 80s nostalgia, retro horror and sci-fi, Dungeons and Dragons, conspiracy theories, alternative dimensions,
pop
like,
branding,
yeah BMXs, spotty kids, weird, 80s
weird haircuts, which also were the 80s.
But yeah, you can see how they sort of could put that into some sort of AI algorithm and say, right, you know, write a script that involves all these things, and then they could tweak it. And that's what the recent Hollywood strikes were about, because these script writers were saying, we don't want to be not only put out of the job from AI, but get hired to sort of polish an AI written script. We only get a fraction of the rights because we didn't fully write it. Yeah. So they get AI to do something, and then they're, I'll bring in a writer just to polish it up. Imagine how sort of demeaning that is. Like, I didn't even write this.
You know, I'll give Steven Spielberg 5 years, dude, and he's out of a job.
Well, but they actually, you know, it was a bit of a victory for them, and they've kind of managed to, like, keep it at bay for the moment. But I, like, kind of think, like, they could just do it and not disclose it. How would anyone know? No, it's not written by AI. Are you sure? Yeah.
What would be the giveaways?
I don't know.
The robots always win. The new Terminator sequel, and mankind is just obliterated.
The thing is, like, there's so many movies now that are just like regurgitated crap, and it just feels like it's written by AI already, in a sense.
I'll admit that, but just by, not, I don't want to say necessarily music, but films. I feel like some film plots and stuff, thinking like, this is weak, thin.
Yeah, very formulaic.
Yeah.
And it's like, almost just seems like the same shows are being fed back to you in different formats, and they're sort of dressed up differently. But we know, like, we've, you know, archetypal stories. There are certain stories that are told over and over again, but this is in everything, like the editing. You know, like on Netflix, like, you feel like once you've watched a certain amount of documentaries, like so many are like, oh, you're like, I feel like I've watched this already. Like, you're watching the same show again and again.
Especially if it's always that program where the guy gets caught in exactly the same way, or the murder weapon was hid or used in exactly the same manner. And you're just sort of like, yeah, we've been here before. Was it Dahmer? Gary Ridgway? Oh, it was someone. Could be Wayne Gacy, for all I know. It does get to that point when you're just like, who's writing this stuff? Because it doesn't engage me as much as it used to.
Yeah, and did you say you watched something on YouTube that was completely created by AI?
Well, this is the new thing with YouTube, yeah. Anyone listening probably knows about YouTube Shorts now. I mean, another great way of getting your, you know, your consciousness just for 30 seconds or 45
seconds. Yeah, your attention span.
You know what I mean? I love the fact that YouTube are like, you know what, we need to get on board with this. We need to get more hits, more views. And how do we do that? We invent the Shorts. Okay. There's loads out there. And I was watching a video of clips of 50 Cent and Ja Rule coming up. And it was 50 Cent voicing over. And I was sort of like digging the video a bit. And I was like laughing. And then I don't know why, I just paused the video. And I don't know what made me even do it. I pushed play again, and I was like, that's not 50 Cent. The voiceover in the video was made to sound. It wasn't a voice actor. This is sounded like it was 50 Cent's voice was put through a program and got a computer doing its own interpretation of what his voice is, but not perfect. You know what I mean?
Mm.
It sounds like him, yeah. But it's just not him.
Yeah, so the whole thing was fake.
The whole thing was fake. And it was put out to be some sort of old beef video that him and Jar had back in the day. But it was using modern day pictures and clips of interviews that they'd both done, which you couldn't hear. All you could hear was the voiceover of 50 Cent saying, and this is why I did this to the guy. And you'd like...
That's not him.
That's not him.
Yeah, because there's programs now where you can run your voice through a program and it will make you sound like Obama. It will make you sound like Biden or whatever.
Yeah.
The Biden thing is just like that. You're thinking, is the computer breaking down or is it... Oh, no, this does sound like Biden. No, but they probably just run it through a system like that, or sometimes the whole clips can be deep fakes, as we'll talk about in a little bit with all this Kate Middleton stuff that's happened recently. But you don't know what you're looking at now. Like, you really don't. Like, they're like saying in the, you know, election coming up, Biden, Trump, like, you're not going to know what's real and not. What's not? I mean, with Biden, they almost don't have to fake it because of all the like gaffes and like the stupid shit that he does. But they'd be able to put out stuff from either side that's super believable, and people watch it once. Like, I can't believe what he's done now, and it could be utterly fake. Like, I don't know how they're going to control this, especially with celebrities, like you just said as well. Like, and people could just be watching stuff for like hours on end, and it's all just fake shit. It's all just deep fake. There's so many people that are like. Britney's Instagram, for instance, like that's not her, but you don't even know. Or Jamie Foxx was like putting out videos and they're saying, oh, people run it through a program, like, and it's saying it's a deep fake and it's not real. And you're like, well, how do I know if that's real or not?
But yeah, how do I know if that's not real? What is real to begin with?
But with this recent Kate Middleton thing, like, no one had seen her for a long time, like since Christmas, she'd been missing.
Oh, I don't know, I've seen her.
Oh, yeah, me and Kate, we've been meeting up on the salon.
Couple of visits down to Buckingham late at night. Sorry, William.
But, yeah, people were starting to ask questions. And, like, we'd, you know, heard, I think by January, that she'd had some kind of sort of operation. Like, she was undergoing abdominal surgery.
Yeah.
It was, like, very vague. And then, you know, just about when people were like, we haven't heard from her, like, where the hell is she? Not me. I don't follow the royals or really give a shit.
It's not like I was like, hey, Reese, have you seen Kate Middleton around recently?
I'm really worried about her. I heard she had some sort of abdominal operation. I hope she's all right. No, we didn't give a shit. But suddenly the word was getting around. Where the hell is she? And then, oh, these pictures surfaced for Mother's Day. And it was like, oh, no, she's okay. Look, she's out there like Mother's Day with her boys. But then very quickly it come out. The photos are fake. You can see they're badly photoshopped. There's bits that don't join up and don't make sense. So then, like, usually when that happens, it just, nothing actually happens. Do you know what I mean? People are like, the picture's fake. And they're like, conspiracy theorists. But all the papers pulled the picture. Oh, no, sorry, we made a mistake. It is fake. It's photoshopped. And it's like, what the hell? That's really unusual.
Yeah, you don't get
for
that.
For starters. And then also, it was so badly photoshopped, you sort of thought, how on earth did this go out the door? Because I'm sure the royals have a very sophisticated PR team and someone that handles all their
photos. If they did want to photoshop something, you would think it would be put out impeccably well.
Yeah.
Not with like a child's arm missing or something.
Yeah, right. But a lot of people have been questioning that, obviously. So then the papers have put out, oh yeah, sorry, it was a fake. And Kate Middleton herself has been like, I did the editing. It was me. It's like, it was you. What, you work for the royal PR team? You're like their Photoshop person. No, I just like to have a little fiddle around with it, like every now and again. It was me. I did it in paint. Yeah. I didn't even use Photoshop. It's like, why was she, not that, why would, that's a lie.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Blatant lie. Yeah.
I don't need to ask why. That's mental.
I mean, if anything, I mean, considering how badly it was photoshopped, it more looks like one of her children probably used photo edit and did it.
Yeah, let Kate just put it out, you know. She's a whiz with Photoshop, I've heard.
Clearly not.
Let her have a go. And also, what the hell were you hiding? What, you know, yeah. So then that was the big question. Everyone was talking about it. And then she's come out and said, oh, actually, big news, I've got cancer. And she said, you know, she's put out this video of her on a park bench telling the world, I've got cancer. And there's obviously like massive, like, a, you know, it's gone viral. But straight away, again, it looked, it's, there's something so off about the video. It looks fake. Mm. It looks like a deep fake video. Like, she looks a lot thinner. Okay, she might be really ill. Mm. That would explain that. But her moles are gone. Her hair looks great.
Yeah.
But it doesn't move, which is kind of a bit weird. Why is she alone? She's giving the most important address of her life, and there's not a husband by her side. She's just like alone on a park bench.
No children, not even like...
And like, where is she? It looks like she's in a park, but like the background's completely static.
Yeah, it's, put it this way, if anyone's living in the UK at the moment, we've had a storm Kathleen blowing like mad. Yeah,
like, it kind of looks like it's on a green screen. Like, oh, she's just on a bench, but, you know, that is... Because it looks so static, you're like, they're not even wanting us to think that that's real. Although, the whole thing is fucking weird.
It's like, whole Biden in the White House again, isn't it?
Yeah, like in the fake White House. But... There's like a looped kind of woodland sounds track in the background that people are like, we've run it for a program. It's just the same bloody like loop. The park bench, when you look at it, she's wearing a stripy sweatshirt and it's sort of bleeding onto the park bench. Park bench is made of wood, not glass, but it's like kind of reflecting the stripes on her T-shirt.
Or is it the opposite? Had she just sat on the park bench and then she was just painted over?
Well, what's funny is the stripy cardigan that she's wearing, people have been like, she was wearing that in this promo vid from nearly like 9-10 years ago. And she's like with the kids and stuff. It's like, okay, so why would she wear that old stripy sweatshirt that she's already been seen in to give the most important address of her life?
Don't listen to him, Kate. I still own pairs of boxers 10 years old. Don't listen to him.
It's her favourite sweatshirt. It's like, again, that's not how these things are run. Like, imagine if she was like, I wanted to wear this. You've already worn that, Kate, quite a while ago. That was
a bit out of fashion.
10 years ago. No, like, they decide what she's going to wear and all the rest of it. It's almost like they've just used that as a... Right, like, use her image from this as a blueprint for this.
Almost like a stock image.
Yeah. Can we just use this stock image of her in the stripy cardi?
That'll do.
She's got lovely hair in that. Now, there's something that looks really weird about the whole thing. The whole thing is very off. Again, I've seen things where people are saying they've run it through programs. It's more than likely it was AI generated. It's some sort of a deep fake. So who's to say? But the point being is, we live in a world where you have to ask that as a question. I'm not saying I know either way, but it felt very off. And the fact that we're having to question that about everything now, it's a real mindfuck, because then you really think, like, what can I believe? What do I believe? Mm. Everything's down to your sort of discernment. But
yeah, well, it's mentally exhausting, if anything.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you wonder if that's the point of it, in a sense.
Yeah, to drain you.
To drive you insane.
You know.
Kind of is, though. It's like the age of confusion as well as distraction and fear.
Is this what's going to happen in America with, like, the election? Bearing in mind two pretty polar opposites.
Mm.
And whichever side loses is going to be pretty angry with the other. Consider how different both the candidates are that are running. Forget about the parties, just more the candidates themselves. You know, like,
Trump said he was going to grab Biden by the pussy. Are you sure that wasn't an old clip mixed in with Biden's name? No, it sounded well real.
Well, I've heard there's quite a few different Joe Bidens, so it might be one with a pussy. Might be Biden number 5. He's the one that doesn't tweak in the sunlight.
He's the one that we get to do the LGBTQ+ speeches. But we'll be talking about the election in the next episode and the AI manipulation that could possibly be involved there. And we'll also be talking about Biden's recent claims that if you vote for him, he will cure cancer.
Yeah.
If you can believe that.
Just like how Jesus turned water into wine.
I mean, this guy can't even do his own shoelaces. vote for me and I'll cure cancer. It sounds like I thought Trump was braggadocious, you know.
Yeah. Coming out with some outrageous claims.
But it sounds like a bad joke.
He does, really.
Did he get muddled up? Did he mean to tell us he's got cancer? And he's just come out as, vote for me and I'll cure cancer. But yeah, we'll be talking about that. We'd be talking about the first Neuralink that's been implanted in someone's brain. That's right, a first brain chip going in. The crazy Apple Vision Pro headsets that everyone's knocking about in. And the rise in something that the media is dubbing turbo cancer, which of course goes back to the whole Kate Middleton story, because it's not just her that's come out in the Royals recently and said they've got cancer. Charles also. So it seems like there's a big push to normalise the rise in cancer and the idea of two of your family members at the same time. Of course, our old friend Yuval Noah Harari will be joining us again. Yes, I wouldn't miss it for the world. I love talking about future and AI with anyone that will listen.
He's no fucking friend of mine.
Oh, but I am.
He's back, but in a different form.
Yes, my human form. I mean, my normal self. No, he will be back and we'll be comparing him to a James Bond villain. The latest James Bond movie. Well, the last one.
Last one.
No Time to Die, with the villain Safin, who doesn't bear much of a resemblance to... Yeah, he's not as weaselly, but he's cut from the same cloth and he's got a similar kind of outlook, let's say, on life. He's a bit of an Agent Smith.
Yeah.
And he also likes to fiddle about with DNA targeting nanobot bioweapons. So they'd be great pals, I think.
Wow. Could you introduce him to Bill Gates? They'd have a right old fun time.
Yeah, I think he'd really fit in with all the guys at the WEF. Klaus Schwab included. But just to leave things on a positive note, just remember, you have no free will, no choices of your own. You are soulless, godless, useless, and nothing more than a hackable animal. And now a word from our sponsor.
Would you like some Calvin Klein, sir?
I hope you enjoyed that episode of The Schism. We've got plenty more episodes on the way. In the meantime, follow us on our Instagram at schism.tv and keep watching the skies.